Thank you. We hear the first half of the Christmas account by St. Luke, the second chapter of his gospel, the first seven verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Congregation may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Do you ever consider the irony with which we surround this section of Scripture, Luke's Christmas account? The irony is usually the music that we sing leading up to hearing it in a church service and which follows it right after the church service. We're doing that today. We started out with Once in Royal David City, and then we're going to go on and sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. Beautiful, sweet-sounding hymns many of us like to sing that speak about Bethlehem being this beautiful, silent place as Christ arrived into that world that first Christmas night. Of course, the irony is that Bethlehem most likely wasn't in that type of situation. It wasn't filled with silence and peacefulness. It wasn't lying there silently like we'll sing here in a little bit. Rather, this was a scene of chaos. And I think Paul Meyer, the historian, does a great job in one of his books talking about it. Joseph and Mary most likely showed up late afternoon, early evening into Bethlehem. Now, yes, Bethlehem was hustling and bustling, but had they gotten there earlier, they probably would have found legitimate housing. Instead, they had to settle for the very last option, and that was a cave behind the inn, a cave that often functioned as a shelter for sheep and for cattle. And of course, then we had the whole delivery. Do we realize that Mary most likely did the delivery on her own? Women of Palestine prided themselves in quick and easy deliveries, and so self-delivery was very common in this culture. She wouldn't have asked Joseph for help. She would have been trained for this situation in case there was no midwife, in case there was no physician. This was the scene of which Luke tells us about here in the text. There's a Roman census going on. Bethlehem is busting at the seams. Every room is filled. A young woman, as a result, 14, 16 years old, somewhere in there, and her husband are forced to sleep in a cave that also functions as a stable. But now on this night, this cave slash stable slash barn slash last option Motel 6 room also had to serve as somewhere for a room of delivery and kind of like the natal care unit, surrounded with a bunch of barn animals. Having went here years ago, Professor Tigan used to always say, if you understand the scene and you've studied before, it wasn't a silent night in Bethlehem, not with barn animals and a delivery going on. What do we find? We find chaos. And yet at the same time, as we look at this text, and we've heard this text so many times, what do we also see? We see this. We see Christ in the midst of this Christmas chaos. In the midst of this Christmas chaos, we have God's Son and Mary's Son. There in a stable, surrounded by a large portion probably of the Minnesota Zoo's farm animals, asleep on the hay. In the midst of all this chaos that was going on caused by Caesar Augustus's census and the long journey, in the midst of the chaos that had now consumed Bethlehem, causing it not to sleep and lie silently that very night, in the midst of the chaos of Joseph running from one house to another, just trying to find somewhere indoors for his wife to deliver, and then maybe even get a helping hand, in the midst of that chaos, there in that stable, in that manger, was the only one individual who would be able to bring silence and peace to all the chaos of the world. But the Christ child wasn't concerned with the apparent chaos that was bothering his parents in Bethlehem that day or night. It wasn't a concern about political chaos. It wasn't a concern about the chaos of an overpopulated city at the time. No, the Christ child had come with a concern to bring silence and peace to the spiritual chaos that was consuming everyone and everything in this world. Christ's perfect life that he would go on and live would silence all that chaos caused by humanity's unwillingness and inability to obey God's law perfectly. The Christ child's perfect life that he would go on to live, in a sense, we can say, silenced God the Father's judgment toward all believers, as now when we stand before God in faith, we possess that perfect life Jesus lived. And that perfect life lived by the Christ child would eventually take him from the wood of that manger to the wood of the cross. And there he would shed his blood. And as he hung on that cross, once again, he was consumed by chaos. God the Father turned his back on his suffering son. The sun in the sky hid its face from the Son of God for 3 hours. And then all chaos broke loose when the Son of God gave up his spirit. The temple curtain tore in two. There was an earthquake. Graves were open. Some of the dead in those graves came out. And some of the Roman soldiers there that had once at one point thought, hey, it's a good idea to kill this Jesus of Nazareth guy. Now they were walking around wondering if they had done the right thing as they gazed upon all of the chaos that was before them. The chaos of sin and of our fallen world that had called and summoned the Christ child into the world had once again shown up 33 years later as he hung on a cross. But of course, then came Easter, and chaos finally fled out of that spiritual realm when that earthquake happened. And there, on that glorious Easter morning, what had happened? Christ had moved from being the Christ child to the crucified Christ to now Christ, the conqueror of sin, death, and hell's chaos. All because we find Christ in the midst of this Christmas chaos. You and I, at least most of us here, are removed about 2,000 years from that first Christmas. A lot has changed since time has went on. And yet a lot of things are still the same. As you're sitting here this morning, if you're viewing here online this morning, can you feel the chaos surrounding you? That chaos, it's all over the spectrum. Some of you are sitting here right now struggling to pay attention to me because you are so consumed by stress, knowing that you've got oodles and oodles of things to do yet before you feel Christmas Eve and day can come. Some of us are sitting here and we're not looking forward to the holidays and having to do family gatherings. Some of you are not looking forward to now breaking this routine that you have now established during this semester, and now things will change for just a couple of weeks. Some of you are stressed right now and see chaos around you because you don't want to go home, because home maybe isn't the best place in your mind to be, and so you wish you really wouldn't even have to think about having to go home right now. There is plenty of chaos around each and every one of us because we live in a fallen world, chaos that really is, for the most part, out of our control. But see, then there's also that other chaos that is somewhat in our control, that chaos that's brought into our lives, into this world, by our willingness to follow our sinful heart and desire at times. It's those words and actions that were such a good idea at the time that now just leave our life filled with chaos, relationships with chaos. It's those words and actions that we knew we shouldn't have done or even said, but we followed our sinful flesh and desires anyways, and now we're standing there with nothing but chaos from those consequences in our life. But despite all that, I have the privilege to stand here before you today and to point you and your heart and your soul to St. Luke's Christmas account. Right now, open your eyes of faith. And again, look at those words throughout this Christmas season so that you can see and so that you can be reminded that you have forgiveness, you have life, you have salvation, you have hope, you have peace in silence at Christmas. You can be certain of those things because Christ was in the midst of that Christmas chaos, and he is again for you this year and the next until he calls you into eternity. In those swaddling clothes and lying in that manger is God's Son and Mary's Son, and he's lying there and he's swaddled there for each and every single one of you. The Christ child became incarnate, lived, died, and rose for you. There's no question about it. That's why Jesus came. And right now, he's telling you and reminding you of that in his word from St. Luke. And for the rest of this Advent season and throughout all of the Christmas season, your Lord and Savior will come again to you to remind you of those blessings again and again in his means of grace. So you may be sitting here right now, and you may think that all you can see around you is chaos. And maybe for some of you that is true. You might be sitting here right now and you might be thinking you are about to just totally sink into chaos that you're never, ever going to be able to get out of. But I promise you that chaos won't overcome you. It can't. Run to the manger, into the Christ child, in the sacraments, in Scripture. And there, take all of your hurt, all of your worries, all your fear, all your pain, all your sins, everything in your life that you feel is giving you chaos, everything that you have done that has created chaos, and throw all of it on Bethlehem's babe. And there in faith, know that in return, you can receive what the Christ child has won and offers to you. Forgiveness of no matter what you've done. The assurance you have a good home in heaven. In peace. Peace with the Lord of heaven and earth. Don't fear the chaos, my friends. It can't overcome you because the Christ child conquered it. Amen. Please rise. O gracious Father, in your great love for the world, you have given us the gift of your only Son as the light of the nations and the glory of Israel. Open now our hearts to receive him and sanctify our lives to proclaim your grace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Give you his peace. Amen.